Hi folks, and welcome to the again delayed version of, sorry, the much delayed version, I'll say that again. I don't even know what I'm saying already.
You never even got the first sentence. Professionalism is unbelievable, so that's right, on you go.
Now I've got I've got a workmate in my work, obviously.
That's because you'd be a workmate then.
Yes, towering header from a corner from Clint Hill, should I say, what was his name? Oh, I've fucking lost the joke already.
You'll have to try and salvage this thing, mate, come on.
Yes, it was a towering header from, oh, I was going to say Wesley Snyder there, but that's not right.
You could, it's no Wesley Snipes either.
It was a towering header from Woody Harrelson, you know.
Aye, I think we'll just leave that there.
Or the build-up for a poor payoff, eh? A bit like my sex life.
Aye, and a bit like Joey Barton. Aye, that was pretty poor, mate. But we go. For Wesley Snipes to Wesley Snyder to Woody Harrelson, on one go. There you go.
Just make sure I'm not doing impressions, Jim. You'd be really stumped there, eh?
I didn't even want to ask, mate. Just keep going.
What's fucking happened today? He's went off with stress and he's been signed off, and then a few years later, that's it. Bowen, his contract has been terminated and they've agreed a payoff and he's away.
Are you talking about Barton or you?
Aye, no. Well, watch it.
Hi folks, and welcome to the much delayed edition of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave.
Good evening, Derek. How are you?
I'm not bad. It's been a while.
It certainly has. I'm not going to put it down to stress, because we'll speak about somebody else that puts not turning up for stress. But no, it has been a while. It's been legitimate, though, as we've said, Derek. I was away on holiday. I know you think that's quite a shock to believe that I've been away on holiday, but
shock,
I was away on holiday, and then just as soon as I got back, I had a bit of an injury, ended up in hospital forward. So this has really been the first time that we've been able to get this recorded. So
is that groin strain pulling up again, Davey? Just after coming back on holiday, no?
As long as it's not a wrist strain, mate, that's the main thing.
Yes, a bit of injury, a bit of holidays, and, you know, about this caused delay, but we're back again anyway, nonetheless. We've obviously got quite a bit to talk about on and off the field. And we're, you know, recording this on the eve of a historic night, which tomorrow morning we'll be going into a brave new world. No, I don't mean the US elections, I mean Joey Barton's probably going to be leaving tomorrow morning, so.
Exactly, yes. That news is kind of breaking just now, which is, I'm a bit puzzled about, but we'll speak about that. After the mammoth amount of matches that we've not covered, so I'll let you get fired into that, mate.
Yes. So, as ever, we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. Did I get that right?
You really made an arse of that. Yeah, you did that.
It's been so long. Right, before we do anything, obviously it's been a while since it happened, but we just wanted to take a wee bit of time to pay tribute to Ryan Baird, member of the Nith Valley Royal RSC, tragically died, obviously, in the bus crash just before the Partick Thistle game. Also pay tribute to the 18 people that are taking to hospital as well. Rangers were fantastic in this. It was not announced by them. It was announced by friends or family, I think, of Ryan, who Rangers were paying for all the funeral costs and everything like that. Mark Warburton did actually attend the funeral as well. He got back from Inverness after the game at 2 a.m. and he got the 7 a.m. flight out to Belfast for the funeral on Saturday the 15th October. So absolutely tragic set of circumstances, and certainly sad to lose a beer that way.
Yeah, it's. I know it's the old. We've been seeing it all, but it really is. You know, the guy was just going to, support his team. We've all done it. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of nights I've been travelling, and during the day travelling to matches on a supporters bus. I mean, I went for years for Stennis Muir and the Falkirk of supporters buses as well, and to think that you could step onto the bus and just, you know, to go and support Rangers and. You know, that's your last time after that happens. So, you know, it was tragic news, but it was great for all the supporters and the club. Everybody kind of got together, and it was a nice touch. But tragic stuff, and we've just really just got to send our condolences to all the guy's friends and family. And as you say, hopefully everyone else that was involved all make speedy recoveries as well.
Yes. So getting on to the games now, it's been a pretty dire affair, hasn't it, Dave?
It certainly has, but we've had a few glimpses of what we could do, Derek, but it's been very few and far between. The rest has been pretty abysmal stuff. Nothing's really changed. We've been talking about the defence for a long time, and this defensive frailties that's been letting us down, in my opinion. The stuff off the field, I think, is also with Mr. Barton has also been affecting the players as well. So I believe, and I think it's maybe the manager as well, possibly. But as I say, we'll speak about that later. But the games, as you say, it's been pretty dull and pretty dire stuff. Not what we've expected. At all this season, considering the amount of players that we've brought in, but it's just no been there.
No. Anyway, the first game we'll talk about, because we've got 9 games to go, we'll obviously just talk about them briefly again. First game was Saturday the 7th of September. It was a 0-0 draw at home with Ross County. Now, I wasn't at the game because, as I said in the last pod, I had a wedding to go to, and just with all the timings, I managed to get a brief stream of it, but I was too engrossed in trying to drink and things like that. So
exactly.
It was Armed Forces Day as well, which I was pretty gutted about missing, because I've never been to one of them at Ibrox. You know, a great celebration of our armed forces. We did apparently play well, despite it only being 0-0. It was allegedly the best performance up until that point this season. We hit the woodwork a couple of times, we got an offside goal, and there was even, bizarrely, a pitch invader. I don't even know what that was about. But again, you know, going by what had been the previous games, not getting results despite playing, you know, okay and having a massive possession and being the dominant team, you know, it wasn't good enough. We were still drawing, you know, dropping points at home as well. Next game, Tuesday 20th of September, it was a 5-0 win at home to Queen of the South in the League Cup quarter-final. Halliday was appointed the captain despite Wilson being in the starting 11, which was something quite telling as well. Holt scored on the 33rd minute, Halliday 62nd, Wycorn 6th and got a hat-trick on the 63rd, 71st and 83rd. I had a few drinks that game, so I was sitting in a different seat as well. In the Govan front, and obviously as a result of that game we drew Celtic in the semi-final.
Is that because you were too pissed that you actually got the wrong seat, mate, and you went to the completely wrong stand as well?
Not quite. Through a mutual acquaintance, a mutual mate, I managed to get one of his tickets. So,
alright, okay.
Yeah, great seat as well, so I'll be trying to steal that again.
Definitely.
Your thoughts on the first two games anyway, Dave?
There's not really much to say about the Ross County game, Derek. I watched that, and I know you said we played well, but it was the usual. We had all the possession. We created more chances than Ross County. As you say, I believe we hit the woodwork. I'm trying to remember back, but there really wasn't anything to write home about in that game, although the gaffer came out at the end and said that he was so impressed and how well we'd played and all of this stuff. But again, it's 0-0 at home against Ross County. At that point, we thought to ourselves, right, okay, we can handle that.
We'll move on to the next game. The next game against Queen of the South, I actually thought Queen of the South played quite well, but I think when we scored, when the third goal went in, they just sort of fell to bits after that. Scored some good goals. It was good to see Wycon getting in the goal trail again after he had been out, and we kind of all hoped that was maybe him getting his scoring touch back again, Derek, and he was going to be back in the team and, you know, scoring, you know, regularly like he did last season. That's not been the case at all.
No.
And as you say, it was a good performance, good goals, but I can't really add more to it than what you've already said.
Yep. So we'll move on now. Sunday the 25th of September, 2-1 loss away to Aberdeen. Now, the game started the game never started, but there was a wee bit of bother before the game with the Rangers bus being vandalised with Ibrox 71 and Durant dived scratching at the bus. Absolutely abysmal behaviour by a certain element of the fans.
It's pathetic, Derek. I've been hearing all this nonsense about Ian Durant for years and years. I mean, going back to when I was in my early 20s and, you know, stuff like that, you know, the Aberdeen fans, it's pathetic. And it'll keep on going and we'll still be hearing about it in 10 to 20 years' time again after that as well. It's just, it's really quite sad. And as you say, it's pathetic that they've done that. But again, it was all kind of swept over as well. There was a few murmurings about it in the papers, and then it was, you know, it's been forgotten about again, as is anything that happens to our supporters or the team or anything like that off the field. But as I say, just as you say, pathetic and childish, and, you know, I really didn't want to talk any more about it, to be honest with you.
There was a wee bit of issue with our crowd as well. After the game, there was a video that surfaced which might have suggested that a chair was broken from the away end and thrown into the Aberdeen fans, which hit an Aberdeen fan in the head. Now, the video for me is a wee bit inconclusive because of the way that the chair came over. Certainly, if any Rangers fans were involved in that, just total idiots again, but giving ammunition to the guys who hate us out there. So
definitely, yep.
Anyway, to the game, again, we kind of... pish, basically, you know. Aberdeen scored the first goal on just after half time on the 46th minute. Poor goal. It was lobbed over our defenders, leaving Fodderham really no chance. Just, you know, lobbed over the defenders quite easily. They weren't awake, and, you know, goal went in. We did get a penalty on the 79th minute. Halliday scored that, and Aberdeen scored right in the last minute with a 90th minute free kick. Stunning free kick, all the same, but it was never a free kick. And Warburton had a few choice words for the referee after that, and used certain language which got him a one-game touchline ban.
I'm going to not defend our play, Derek, but I will say in the first half, Aberdeen had slightly more grit between their teeth. They certainly didn't outplay us in the first half. I actually thought that we looked no too bad in the first half. We certainly didn't look worse than what Aberdeen did. And in the second half, I thought we were by far the better team in the second half. I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but I thought we were by far the second best team. They were by far the best team in the second half. We created a few chances. It didn't look as if we were going to get anything. I thought it was going to be one of the days. We did get the penalty, and I did think that we were kind of unlucky to be going away with the draw. As you say, the goal that they scored was just shocking by our defence again. But again, the free kick right at the end, it was a stunner. As you say, it was never a free kick. And these things, the way our luck is going at the moment, this is the type of thing that happened. But I wasn't too annoyed by it, because I actually thought that we were a better team than what Aberdeen were, and that was away from home. And I thought to myself again, okay, it's you know, we've not got much luck now, but we actually played better than what they did. So I wasn't too annoyed about the result at the end of the game. It was just one of these things, but I'm kind of starting to lose my faith now slightly, just by the way that they have been playing recently, because I actually did think that they played all right against Aberdeen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you'll notice me that tweeted after the game then about using the free kick that never was as an excuse, because I thought we should have, you know, given the fact that we were the better team, we should have won the game. No, we shouldn't be losing games like that. Certainly not drawing them anyway.
No, so. But I mean, if that's the second best team in Scotland, Derek, totally fired up for a game against us and we played better than them. That's what I was saying to myself. No. I'm not really too worried about it, but I don't know so much now, right enough, but I'll let you continue to the next game.
Yes, going into the next game with a wee bit of trepidation, obviously, in the back of the poor performances. Saturday the 1st of October, we won 2-0 at home to Partick Thistle. Warburton was serving his touchline ban for that game. Cranchar with an individual stunning goal, taking on players in the box and a good shot in the 33rd minute, and then Andy Halliday scored in the 40th minute to make it 2-0. It was pretty much a poor second half, to be honest. We dominated it, but it was very static performance all round. You know, we were passing back to the keeper, passing, doing square passes, no one to get forward. A big feature of our game, you know, this season so far.
Yep.
Then obviously, as I was travelling home, news filtered through about the tragic bus crash as well. So put a damper on the end of you know, our result. So
I think it was a fantastic goal by Cranchar, as you said, absolutely stunning goal, and I think that kind of lifted everyone's spirits a bit, Derek. We maybe thought at that point, oh, here's Cranchar finally starting to get his fitness back and show us what he can do. But again, that's been few and far between, and now, as I say, with everything that's happened with him, we'll not be seeing that for a while. As you say, nothing much to write home about the second half either, so a good first half performance, nothing in the second half, and we really can't say much more about that either.
Nope. Into the next game, we thought it was going to be a difficult game. Friday the 14th of October, a 1-0 away win against Inverness.
Yep.
On the 22nd minute, Kenny Miller with an absolute peach of a volley to get his 100th goal for Rangers. Basically, yep. It was a cross in. Was it Wallace, I think? Put an inch perfect pass through into the box on the volley. Kenny Miller, just you couldn't get a better goal than that for
him. It was absolutely phenomenal goal. I was away in Tenerife and I had been promising myself a trip to the Bluebell to watch the game, but unfortunately my leg was playing up a wee bit, so I had to settle for the bar that you and me know well, Taylor's Bar, which was just down for the hotel. I went in there and been speaking to the guy that owns that for years, so he put the game on the big screen for me, and I sat and watched that with my wee boy and my father-in-law, and as I say, that was definitely the highlight. When we scored that goal, it was, you know, there was even guys, you know, all the English guys were all sort of clapping their hands when they'd seen the goal go in, so it was an absolute peach. And again, I thought we played quite well in that game, Derek. After that, there wasn't too many chances, but that was from both sides, to be honest with you. I think Inverness had one really good opportunity before we scored. The big guy up front had a sort of free header, but apart from that, I actually thought we looked pretty solid in defence, and we certainly dominated the ball as we have been, and you know that goal. So it was a good victory, Derek. But again, perhaps we could have got more, I don't know, but I was quite happy with the 1-0 win, and we were starting to sort of slowly creep up the league by that point, and you know, we had a wee bit of hope at that point.
I mean, we did, if I can remember right, Inverness did have a good few chances right at the end, and I thought, here we go, we've left it, you know, late again, we've no capitalised on, you know, the dominance, but fortunately we held out. On that note, Warburton never actually gave an interview to BT Sport after the game. We're still no very clear about the reasons for that. It might have been due to the fact that he was catching a flight early in the morning. As usual, and we'll get onto him later on, Chris Sutton had a big dig at Warburton for that, you know, and really not knowing the full facts about what the reasons were. And then in the papers, obviously, BT wanted to hold crunch talks with the SPFL over a breach of contract, which looks as if it hasn't come to anything. So,
yeah.
You know, just as usual, certain individuals who hate Rangers spouting shite, so
I don't know if it's maybe been resolved, Derek, but aye, because it's maybe something positive, it's no in the mainstream media, do you know what I mean? So it's I think you could maybe put a guess on that it has all been sorted out and stuff like that, and
yeah,
there's been an explanation, but it's certainly not been put out there because it's no anything negative. So
no. You've got that one right. Anyway, on to the next game, which was the big one, obviously. It was Sunday the 23rd of October, a 1-0 loss to Celtic. It was at Hampden in the League Cup semi-final. Now, before the game had even started, on the way to the game, 11-year-old Craig, I think it's Mackay or Mackey, was actually bottled in the head, received injuries and had to get stitches to his head after a bottle from opposition fans throwing in his direction walking to the game. Whether there was any malice directed directly at him is no really the point. You shouldn't be throwing bottles into an unknown crowd. So absolute scummy behaviour from individuals of that crowd again, which again, you know, it happened last year as well. It's happened at another game when they played Aberdeen with coins. Nothing gets done about it. So
it's quite worrying, Derek. The years and years that I've been going the games, and certainly Old Firm games, I've never seen one bit of bother, Derek. And that's been both at Ibrox and a few times I've been to Parkhead as well. I've never seen anything. But I think this season is, you know, we've all every single Rangers fan out there has received some, and you can call it banter, but possibly like nasty banter, if you know what I mean, either from Celtic fans or other team supporters out there. See, you know, a good bit nastier than normal, and I just had a feeling that something was going to happen, and it's just absolutely shocking that it's something like that, and it's a wee laddie that's happened, and a wee laddie that's only a year older than my wee boy. So it could have been my wee laddie going to his first ever Old Firm game with me that it could have happened to, and it's really quite worrying, and it makes me think to myself, if I had the chance to take him to an Old Firm game, would I go, or would I wait? He's a wee bit older or whatever, and it shouldn't be like that, you know?
I mean, precedents have been set, which we'll get onto eventually in the off-the-field section, but it's disgraceful anyway. Into the game, you know, people say that it was a decent enough performance defensively.
Nah.
People say, you know, oh, the ball shows the gaps closing. For me, it doesn't. I think it was desperate defending for most of the game, and it was Matt Jilks who really kept us in it with some...
Yep.
He made one glaring, obvious mistake, mind you, but he got away with it, but he had kept us in the game for the rest of it. And it was just, you know, just diabolical performance again.
We didn't show anything, Derek, in their half whatsoever. No. Nothing in the whole game. Can you actually think of a clear-cut opportunity that we did have in the whole of the match?
There was one in the second half, I think, with Halliday. One of the two, Halliday or Gardner, had a chance and the keeper made a good save, but that was one in the whole game.
I honestly can't even think of that when I think back. I sat and I watched it and... I said to myself, he's basically, the team's been set out, which is one thing I'll say, Derek, he changed the formation, and he made it a much more defensive formation, but it was to the fact that we weren't ever going to score any goals during the match. And that was, I mean, from the first sort of 15 minutes when I was watching it, I thought there's no way that we're going to score here. I just couldn't see it at all. And we set out, it was a defensive team, but it wasn't a great defensive team. It wasn't a defensive team back in the day, like what Walter Smith could put out. If Walter Smith went out for Rangers, not to get beat 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't get beat. But we've not got the personnel to do that, and we've not got the defenders to do that. And it was just a really, really poor performance, Derek, and it gave us nothing whatsoever. When we got hammered at Parkhead, we did create a good few chances and we scored, but I mean, as I say, we got hammered though. So I don't know, it was just really poor, and every single player, you looked at them and you thought to yourself, they're just going to expect and to get beat here. And it's hard for us all to take, really, considering how well we did last year. And when we played them at Hampden in the semi-final, you know, we were absolutely fantastic against them. And just to see how this is, and it's just no good enough, Derek. It really isn't it?
It's diabolic. I mean, Celtic scored with a header in the second half, but I think it was late on in the second half, and it was ruled out, but it should have stood because there was no Phil and Clint Hill anyway. And fair enough, they did score in the 87th minute, and it was a fraction offside, so swings and roundabouts there, you get them, you don't get them, but I mean, I think we were lucky not to be another 5-1 again, or probably 5-0, because we, as you said, we created nothing.
Nothing, absolutely nothing.
So that's all I can really say about that just now. Moving on to the next game was Wednesday the 26th of October, a 1-1 draw at home against St Johnstone. The the youngster, Craig Mackey, actually led the team out as a mascot, which
was a great touch
by the club.
Brilliant.
St Johnson scored on the 5th minute with a looping shot. It was a great shot, mind you.
Yep.
But it was after Hodgson gave the ball away after being asking for him to get put in. And then Gardner equalised on the 37th minute with a header, I think it was.
Yep.
But we really offered absolutely bugger all game after that. I try to describe it. It was just dire. We didn't want to get forward. We played the ball square. We played the ball back to Fotheringham every time. The fans were getting on to Fotheringham because he wasn't punting out the field. He was, you know, just passing it back to the defender again, where it would go to the halfway line, back to the centre of our box, back to Fotheringham. There was no movement. There was nothing in the team whatsoever, which is the reason why we created no more chances and the team got booed at the end of the game.
Yep. And quite rightly so, Derek. Again, you know, coming from a disappointing match against Celtic just before, you would think that the team would be like well up for it to go out and try and win the game. And again, they just look totally flat. You know, it's been the same. Apart from the one game, I'm sure that you're about to get into, the Kilmarnock match, it's been the same throughout.
Yeah, absolutely. Going into that Kilmarnock match, I've got a workmate who is a Kilmarnock fan. He's a season ticket holder. They were obviously on the back of a good away win on the Wednesday night against Inverness, who were playing well. And he was quite hopeful. And I said to him, I'm not hopeful for Rangers. I think yous are going to beat us. Well, how wrong we both were, because Rangers played outstanding as you can against Kilmarnock anyway. And we won 3-0, a completely different team. It was like the team of last year, and there was movement galore, and that is for me the reason why we were so dominant. We passed exceptionally well all game because we were moving for a change.
I mean it was even from the first sort of 30 seconds in the game, where Holt sort of ran on and his shot just missed. You know, it was just past the post, and I thought, oh, this is more like it, you know, straight away. And it was as if every time we were going forward in that first half, it looked as if we were going to score. And it was like night and day, as you say. The pass and the movement was fantastic.
Yep. But certainly the best performance we've had all year. It's really, you know, going back into last year as well, since the Cup semi, you know, it was been the best performance, which is, you know, a telling thing. Wallace scored in the 16th minute. It was a fantastic defence splitting pass from Windass, taking out about three players right through into the box. Wallace scored at the near post to the keeper. I can't remember who was brought down, but anyway, it was a penalty in the 29th minute, which Halliday converted. And just after half time, Gardner scored as well to make it 3-0. There was a few other, you know, good chances throughout the rest of the second half, but, you know, it just stayed there at 3-0.
I think Jason Holt could easily have bagged himself a hat trick with the chances that he, you know, really good chances that he had made during the match. But as you say, fantastic performance. It lifted everyone again. Everybody was in a great mood, and it got us up to second in the table as well.
Yeah.
And I think we all thought, surely this is going to kickstart us. He's found his team. If we can keep the team like this and keep them playing like that, we're going to win the vast majority of games. But the next game after that was absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, it's just, I don't understand it. Back to the way we've played all year.
Exactly.
Sunday the 6th of November, it was a 1-1 draw away to Ross County. Now, bearing in mind, Ross County are sitting down near the bottom of the league as well.
No, they're bottom.
They are bottom. They
are bottom.
Makes it even worse then.
Yep.
We thought it was going to be a decent performance. First 20 minutes, we played fairly well.
Yep.
And we did get a goal from it. It was a, you know, towering header from a corner from Clint Hill.
Good header. Shocking defending by Ross County because Clint Hill had basically a free header. And, you know, we thought to ourselves, oh, this is, you know, if this is the sign of things to come, we're going to get a couple of goals here. But then, as usual, it turns around that we just repay the sloppy defending and the corner. And the goal that they scored was probably the worst defensive at a corner that we've been
all season so far, because the goal that Ross County equalised with, the guy was just outside the 6-yard box and he had nobody anywhere near him. He basically just had to stand and wait for the ball to come in. Nobody near him at all, nobody challenging him, and he had just a complete free header just to stand there, stick his head on the end there, and it went into the goal. It was honestly, when I was absolutely raging when I saw the goal that we let in, Derek, I thought that is as poor as it gets, really, when it comes to defending a corner. That was like going down to the Grangemouth Sunday Amateur League and watching the boys down there in the Zetland Park in Grangemouth. That's how shocking the defending was in there, and that's no disrespect to the boys that play in that league, because they would have probably have done better at marking than we did. It was amateurish. It was like, I'll go as far as to say that if my laddie's team, who's 10-year-old, if they conceded a goal like that, the coach would be going absolutely ballistic at them for just letting somebody just stand there right in the centre in front of the goalkeeper when they'd be on him at all. It was shocking, Derek. Absolutely shocking.
Yep. I mean, on that note, Clint Hill and Rob Kiernan decided to mark themselves. And then I don't know if anybody else picked this up, but Windass left his position where the goal scorer was, ran round the back of the keeper, round the back of the defence to go and join Clint Hill and Rob Kiernan. You know, I don't know what he was doing, so which again left the guy totally unmarked to put the ball in it.
It was the worst defender I've seen so far, Derek. It really was, and I know anybody listening will be saying, you know, you're maybe being a bit strong here, but it was for the fact that we were 1-0 up, we had control of the match at that point, to let in a goal like that was absolutely criminal, and I was raging, absolutely raging when I seen it go in, and it completely shook the team totally, and we looked fragile, and then from then on we just couldn't keep the ball at all. It was probably the worst that we've played passing wise all season. We were giving the ball away, I don't know how many times we gave the ball away. Fodringham was shocking, his distribution was as bad as I've ever seen as well, and it was just a complete shambles, a total and utter shambles.
Yep. So really it kind of leaves us sitting right now in third in the league. We are a point behind Hearts, sorry, a point ahead of Hearts, a point behind Aberdeen, and we are 11 points ahead, 11, I wish we were, 11 points behind Celtic, who have got a game in hand, so potentially 14 points here. Basically, the league's a write-off. I don't care what any Rangers fan says. No. The league we're never going to win. So, as much as we don't like it, we should be looking for second place. And any Rangers fan who doesn't kind of see that just now, are really kind of, the mind would baffle you for that one, because, you know, that's what realistically our goal is this year now. I don't like it, but we're going to have to settle for that this year.
Derek, the way we're playing at the moment, you really can't say that we're certainties to get that second place as well. It's so inconsistent, it's unbelievable. And the fact that the defence still has to be sorted out, it's absolutely beyond me, totally. Yeah. Surely it's the most glaring thing. I mean, there must be... I mean, Davy Weir's in there, surely he must be tearing his hair out when he's standing there watching them, you know, certainly defend like they did against Ross County. He must be saying to himself, you know, if Davy Weir was out playing, he would have cleared that.
Yeah.
And he's bloody 42-year-old, you know what I mean? It's unbelievable. And I honestly don't know where we go for here, because I still don't know what our best team is. I don't think the manager knows what our best team is. We've got forwards. I mean, Michael O'Halloran came in against Kilmarnock and it was absolutely fantastic, but did nothing against Ross County. Barry Mackay has been so poor as well, and these are like two white guys that were looking to try and create stuff. Kenny Miller comes in and does his best, and he's probably the most effective of all the forwards we've got at the moment, Kenny Miller, but even he's a hit or a miss. Martin Waghorn is like out of the team now. He's been like injured and unfit and no feature in Joe Gardner. Is he a dud or is he no, Derek? Be totally honest. Have you seen anything in Joe Gardner which makes you think this guy's going to come good?
No, but I would say I've never seen that in any of the team this year, apart from that Kilmarnock game, which makes me believe it's a complete attitude thing with the players, and I'll get onto that in a wee bit later, but the attitude is the issue. They just don't seem to be playing for the jersey, not for the manager, not for themselves. They know how to play. They've proved that against Kilmarnock. They just refuse to do that for some reason.
I don't know. I've been actually scratching my head, and every time I watch Gardner up front, somebody summed it up the other day on Twitter, and I actually thought, you know, it's probably the best sort of description that we've had of him so far. He is the 2016 version of Philip Sebo, right? Because you can see that he's trying to get 100% out there, and he's throwing his cell about, and he's running for everything, but really no doing anything, to be honest with you. He's trying like a bear, pardon the pun. The fans see that and appreciating that and are giving him all the backing, but he's really no doing anything. And for me right now, he doesn't look as if he's got it, Derek.
No.
And I hope I'm wrong, but at this moment in time, I wouldn't be playing him up front. I would rather that we went and gave Waghorn a chance back in the team, because I didn't think this guy's got it. Hope, you know, he might go out the next game, score a hat-trick, and then that'll set him off. But there's nothing there that I've seen him that makes me think this guy is our main striker and he shouldn't be getting dropped.
He shouldn't be getting dropped?
Aye. I mean, sorry. he shouldn't be an automatic start. And I know that he's Mark Warburton's player. He brought him in. We've spent a huge amount of money for us to spend on a guy. He come in, and I know that's not his fault, but I think possibly the money could have been spent wiser, and we could have been spending it on somebody who is maybe a bit more of a proven goal scorer in Scotland. I don't know what you think about that, but he's not exactly a young guy either. I mean, I'm not saying he's old, but I mean, he's 28, but he's been playing for a while. So that there must have been something there that the manager's seen in him to think, oh, this is the guy that's going to score us all our goals in Scotland.
Again, though, that I'm not wanting individual players out, because, like the Barton thing, this team, the Barton thing's a good example, actually. Everybody thought our midfield was clogged up because of Barton. That's once again been proved not the case. The team is the issue. There is something within the team just now, whether it be something in the background, or they just think they're a bunch of prima donnas and they're brilliant, that they can walk the league. I don't know, but that's why I'm loath to single out individuals just now in relation to the way the team's playing, because again, like Kilmarnock, they can play. Now, just kind of going on to this, I've obviously Twitter's kind of exploded with Warburton, get him out now, get bloody Walter Smith back. Walter Smith is not the answer every single time something goes wrong. You know, kick a manager out, that's not the way we do things. Absolutely, Mark Warburton has to look at himself, because he's one dimensional in terms of the way he changes things, because he doesn't change things really. The substitutions this year is, you know, they've been hopeless, whereas last year they were game changing, some of them, whereas this time they've actually made us worse. So yep. The transfer policy and the budget now. Well, he has been given money. We've got the second biggest wage budget in the league, which we'll get to in the accounts. Do we trust them with any more money, given who he's brought in? But again, want to hark back to, it's a team issue. And as it comes to Dave King and, you know, this mythical £30 million, we'll get to in the accounts as well. But one point I want to make about this, throwing money is how we got into the position we got into the last time. And if you look at the accounts, when the investors are still having to bail us out, there is no money to spend on players. Yep, so
exactly.
That £30 million is going towards everything else that you see around the stadium just now. So
the one thing, I don't know if the, you know, Barton's wages will make a difference now in January, that they might, you know, they've got money freed up for, but we still don't know the full ins and outs of what's happened today, but maybe with the money being freed up, it might attract us to be able to go out and buy, I don't think we'll be buying anyone, but bring in somebody possibly in a free transfer or something like that, you know, the higher sort of standard. But as you say, I'm not, and I think the vast majority of Rangers fans at Derek know the score. I think the media is terrible. It constantly happened back to this so-called 30 million, you know, which has been taken out of context completely. And I know the Celtic fans love to bring that up as well, you know, this £30 million, but it's been taken out of context. The one thing, you were talking about Walter Smith there. What I would quite like is Walter Smith to come in and say to Mr. McParland or whoever that's in charge of recruitment, maybe give them a wee hand to find a defender, because it's one thing that Walter Smith always seemed to do was find a top quality centre half. Didn't matter who it was, he always got them playing. They could maybe be taking some advice off him in that way. Yeah. But I don't know, Derek. I'm that way now that I'm quite despondent about everything, the way they've been playing, apart from the Kilmarnock game, to think, you know, how is he going to change it? He's still got Rossiter, who we believe is supposed to be a fantastic player, but again, keeps getting injured all the time. He's only played, two games for us in total.
Yeah.
So we don't know if he's going to be the answer in midfield to get the team ticking. We've seen very little of Crooks as well, who's been injured. I mean, Windass does look quite a good player. I mean, some of his passing has been fantastic, but again, against Ross County in the second half, he couldn't pass anything. The whole team couldn't pass. There's definitely something wrong somewhere, and it's puzzling. And I honestly don't know. At this moment in time, I'm completely at a loss as to what their best team is going forward, who he should be, you know, what position apart from defence, obviously, he should be trying to strengthen if he can. I mean, he's got for Philip Senderos there, Derek. I mean, what's that guy doing?
Yeah.
Another player he brought in with huge experience, you know, really good in the air, and he can't get in the team because Rob Kiernan, who I don't rate, and I never have, and Clint Hill, who, you know, I'm not going to go on about his age, but if Clint Hill's the best defender we've got, Derek, that's really, really worrying.
Yeah, I mean, that's what pissed me off when folk were saying, well, what's the best attacking partnership? Best defender partnership, and they were saying, was it Wilson and Hill? And if that really is what they're settling for and they're quite happy with, you know, that beggars belief again. You know, a 38-year-old and a guy who's just lacking total confidence in himself, mm-hmm. it seems, and he's not the same player who he was, you know, even for Hearts, never mind what he was like before us. Anyway, I mean, getting on to this point, one thing I want to say as well, there was a video before the Ross County game taken by the players, and it was posted online. It was about Matt Crooks doing the cinnamon challenge. They were all having a laugh and giggle. That's fair enough if they want to do that, but don't post that shite online when you're playing like this. You know,
exactly.
That's the kind of going back to Ali McCoist and his dart competitions after losing kind of deal.
Aye.
Again, that might be part of the problem, down to an attitude issue with the players. And again, it's a pure speculation on my point, but it might have been down to Barton and, you know, him being effectively allowed to see what he wanted on Twitter, you know. Could be a part of it.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. It will be interesting to see if... I know you'll be coming on to the Barton thing soon, but it'll be interesting to see what comes out there. It'll be interesting to see the mood of the team as well that he has now. You know, he's no longer there. But as I say, I'm at a loss, Derek. I've been thinking a lot about what the best team is, and before the Ross County game I was saying to myself, oh, well, he's got to try and stick to the same team that played against Kilmarnock, and he did, and they were absolutely diabolical, so I honestly don't know. I really don't.
Yeah. So just to round up this section here, we've played 12, won 5, drawn 5, lost 2, scored 16, let in 13, goal difference of plus 3, thank God we're in the plus now, and points 20, which is pretty abysmal Yep. Kind of looking league table there. Next games, we've got Saturday the 19th of November at home to Dundee in the league. Saturday the 26th of November away to Partick Thistle, which is a 12:15 kickoff, so I'm guessing it's on TV. Yep. And the rearranged game, remember that we were playing Hearts away on Wednesday the 30th of November. That was a rearranged game from the weekend of the League Cup semi-final.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have a podcast out just after then, if not before.
Yes.
But anyway, we'll move on now and we'll go into the Blue Room.
All right. I'm
sure you've already heard that the result was 85%.
So yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
So, I mean, absolutely.
I love you.
How about your means?
Yes, unfortunately, we've got a Blue Room section again this time.
So, yes.
I'm including one section in it about Club 1872 because I've got a few issues to take with that. If you've followed us on Twitter,
yes, anyway. Well, I've been lying in my bed, Derek, and my phone's been gone absolutely ballistic between yourself and various members of Club 1872. But I'll let you get into that.
Yeah. Just on the first point here, again, we're not wanting to cover it too much because of legal reasons, but obviously there was a High Court hearing held, which White attended. It was Craig White, obviously, we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yep. His trial dates have actually been set, and it's for April 2017, and there's been 3 months set aside for it, which will make it one of the longest trials in Scottish legal history if it takes that long.
Okay.
They're expecting it to be complex, which is the reason why they've set 3 months. He's up on two charges, one for fraud and one an allegation under the Companies Act. Again, that's where we're going to leave it there for...
Yes, definitely.
Not want to prejudice anything. Or
no, definitely
trouble.
Not. Okay.
Right, the accounts, as we mentioned, have came in. We've halved their losses to £3.3 million. Turnover is up by £6 million to £22.2 million, and the wages are at £10.3 million. So I think the kind of always the goal of a football club is one that's going to be running in decent financials is get your wages around about 30% of the turnover, which we're about 50% there, so we're
fantastic.
We're doing not bad.
Yep.
We are still, as I said, mentioned, we are still having to use the investors to keep the club afloat because of the losses. So I think it was announced that Douglas Park was going to put a bunch of money in again. And again, we're only receiving £100,000 from the retail deal.
Yeah, which is incredible.
We'll get onto that in a second.
Aye.
£286,000 was cost incurred for the old co debt to the SPFL, which we were initially fighting, but we've decided to pay it anyway.
Okay.
For some reason. These accounts, bearing in mind, cover the 12 months up until the June 2016, so it doesn't cover the extra season 10,000 season tickets on last year, nor the increased prices for the season tickets as well. So there's one thing, you'll get a massive influx of money for just that alone. And you look at, in terms of the retail deal we're talking about there, you know, we've said it time and time again, pitiful, and that £3.3 million loss will likely be wiped out if there was a proper retail deal put in place. You know, we would be running at probably a profit if that was the case. So that's something to look into in the near future.
Yep.
The AGM on the back of that was announced, and that's going to be held on Friday the 25th of November, so not long now, and that's at the Clyde Auditorium this year.
Okay.
Encompassing the retail deal again, Mike Ashley is suing us for up to £1 million, and I think there's a trademark issue in that involved in that as well. So God knows what's going to happen there. He's already lost issues with that. I think he's talking about the fact that we terminated the deal and we're not really serving him the whole 7 years that was in the agreement. Again, there's a lot of issues about that I'm not wanting to get into.
No. I think Mike Ashley's having a lot of bother outside of football as well. When I seen the news the other night when all the MPs made the surprise visit to his large warehouse and there was allegations of listening devices into their meeting and stuff like that, and it was there's a wee GoPro camera was sort of left by one of the tea ladies when she was bringing in their tea and stuff. It's incredible. That was all the allegations that were made. So I think Mr. Ashley's in a lot of hot water with a lot of other people as well, rather than just us. So as you say,
we'll leave it there. We've discussed it at length before.
Bring back JJB.
Aye, exactly. Aye, we were all laughing when that came out.
I know. Right, so we'll get onto the crux of what I want to talk about. Now, I don't know if Dave will have much input in this, because I want to say from the outset, any of the tweets were from me. We've tried to, if the tweet length gives us that, we've tried to put our names into tweets, especially if it might be controversial, like I say. So, okay. Certainly, none of the tweets relating to that were from you, Dave. Yep. Believe me, I want Club 1872 to succeed. You know, don't get me wrong in that. We've said it time and time again in the pod, if you've listened to that. And I'm not suggesting at all that anything untoward is happening with, you know, any membership or any money that's going towards it.
And I, for one, I was looking at all the tweets, because I say they were coming in thick and fast. And I thought, oh, God, what's happened here? Who's Derek upset this time? And there was no point were you making any allegations whatsoever, Derek. You were asking a straightforward question right from the start, and you were met with hostility. But I'll let you go on from there.
I just want to say that my rant is a wee bit tempered today, because they've obviously knew we were doing a podcast and I was going to talk about it, and they increased their shares today. So they've now got a 6.25% shareholding in the club. So,
okay.
Obviously, I've documented before that I came out of Club 18. Sorry, it was Rangers First at the time when the merger was announced, because I wasn't too happy about putting my money into something that I wasn't fully aware of. I wanted to see what was going to happen first, and I'm still at that. I will give it granted the fact that, yeah, I maybe should have checked a couple of wee bits before this, but I only found out because you need to go into effectively join up a membership to see, you get the option to select where your money goes. Now, the default is for it to be split a certain way. Now, it's on the website how much the percentage goes to. But you do, when you go to sign a membership, where do you want your money to go to? Whatever your donation is, whether it be to shares, to the projects, or an even split. If you don't select anything, that's a default percentages is.
Okay.
So that was one of my issues, where's the money going in terms of that? So that's kind of been answered, which is fair enough. But at the same time, I never signed up to Rangers First. Straight off the bat, I waited to see how actually the lay of the land was. Now, I think I'm perfectly entitled to do that, and along with everyone, with Club 1872, because it's the merger happened at the end of March, I believe it was. The elections for the results, for the proper board, were announced on the 30th of September this year. So there was a great piece of time. And then the board only got effectively put in place and transferred over from the working group to the elected board on the 21st of October. So a beggar's belief what they've been doing all that time. Yes, there might have been stuff going on in the background that we are not privy to, but you know what's been happening all that time. And it's only today, the first bit of news from the 21st of October to now, the first bit of news related to Club 1872's came out. So obviously they were working in the background in relation to shares.
Yep.
So
that's fair enough.
But I do know people were taking over the website and the Twitter, and you're not getting anything really out of them when you ask them a direct question. I'll get onto that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously my tweet was in relation to who's actually paid for the advertising for Club 1872 on the Sandy Darden stand, which was put up when the Puma signs were taken down. Now, it was a purely innocent question directed, you know, I was putting it to the broad base of the members and tagged in Club 1872.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was based on the perceived independence of the group, whether it be, is it a totally, fully, 100% fan-run group, or did the board have some influence in that as well? So it was obviously based on who paid the money for that advertising. Was it Club 1872, or did, you know, the club give it to them for nothing, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, yep. I'm a big believer of, you know, have one, yes. Have the other, yes. Have them intertwined, where it being part board, part fan group. No, that just doesn't work for me, because there's influences there. As much as they say they're independent just now, there's been a lot of rumours, and it kind of started off with the Rangers First thing, with Richard Gough getting put as a board member of Rangers First, which I wasn't too happy about because of his clear affiliate with the club.
Excuse me. Right.
So I'd have no issue with an independent fan group, as I said. I have no issue if it was a club-run fan group, much like, you know, Bayern Munich have got, I believe. Their fan group, their official membership group is run by the club, from what I'm led to believe. So that's basically where I was coming from, and that was the point I was going to make on this podcast. But the amount of shite I got, I'm just going to say it plainly, I got a lot of shite from that question. It was suggested that because I'm not a member, I've no right to ask that question or for it to be answered by Club 1872. So what they're telling me there is I need to become a member before I get answers about becoming basically about where my money's going. I've never known any business to work like that. You know, it's suggested that I shouldn't be asking a question like this on Twitter, you know, because of the character limit and things like that. And one of the guys, you know, I've no issue with nothing personal against anybody here, but one of the guys suggested, well, you wouldn't ask a tweet to Thomas Cook and ask them about a holiday. Well, funnily enough,
you're the wrong person to ask about that.
Exactly, because I spent 4 years at Thomas Cook, two of them working in the social media team and one of the pioneers of Thomas Cook's social media, which we did ask questions like that, or customers did ask questions like that on Twitter. And if it was something that was too personal, you would ask them to either DM or give them an email address, or just say, "Oh, we can't answer that. It's not part." My issue is Club 1872's Twitter haven't been responding to things like that. So if it was just and then somebody said, "Well, you should be emailing the club. Have you went and emailed the club as I suggested?" As I quite plainly said, no, I'm leaving it to them to suggest that, not for an individual member.
Aye. I mean, the way I read it, Derek, you were putting a question out there. It wasn't as if you had an agenda to badmouth them or have a go at them or anything like that. You were putting out a general question and hopefully getting an answer for somebody who knew to say, aye, it's been done by that, or no, it's been done by that, something. But the way I read it, there was, you know, a couple of people were just desperate to, you know, have a go at you for putting a question, which is a bit unfair. And like I say, the only person that got back to you with sort of sensible tweets after that was Chris Graham, to be fair to him, and the two of you had a, you know, quite a lengthy discussion on Twitter about it, where everything was completely civil and, you know, brand new, and there was a lot of questions that you had got had been answered by him, so it was good enough for him to get back. I think he maybe saw the response of a couple of people out there and thought, no, I think I better get out here and try and explain things the way that it should have been. But there was certainly, the way I read it, there was no malice in your tweet that you put out there, and nothing, you weren't, because I know that there is a lot of people have got serious issues with Club 1872, and there's a few people did jump on it, Derek, to be fair, and were trying to twist it to make it look as if you were trying to have a go as well, which you weren't. So, I mean, I did see that happening also. But to be fair to Chris Graham, he did get back to you quite quickly, and you had a lengthy discussion about it, and things were explained a bit better. But there are elements out there that were just desperate to put the boot in and have a go at you asking these questions, and were very hostile about it.
I mean, in relation to Chris, he was part of the working group, so he would be in a better position. He did clarify something, which we'll get onto in a second. Mm-hmm. But he did suggest that, well, my opinion had been swayed by others on Twitter, you know, making up blatant lies. I'm sorry, but that was not the case. I'm you know, an independent person who can make my own mind up, and I'm sensible enough to make my own mind up, which is the reason why at this stage I'm holding back, because there's a few things I'm not too happy about. You know, I've never criticised, and we've never criticised 1872, Club 1872, you know, since, you know, maybe apart from maybe the Twitter thing, which again I'll get onto, but, you know, I've always been supportive of it. I want more, you know, clarification before I decide to put my hard earned in, because I don't earn that much, you know. Mm-hmm. So, just going back to some of the kind of shite you got as well, you know, I was, you know, before the elections happened, you know, people were mentioned in the last podcast about, you know, a certain, you know, candidate from America who hadn't set foot in Ibrox, and I was getting in a discussion with somebody like that about that. You know, somebody came up with a totally unrelated fact during the discussion about the fact that Rangers had given his details, like his email address, over to Club 1872, which, you know, was against Data Protection Act, and he was raging about this. So I said to him, well, put that back to the club then. That's nothing to do with 1872, given, you know, getting the details from Rangers. And he was like, ah, but I shouldn't need to. You know, there are, like you said, there's people just wanting to have a pop at something, but they just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, kind of getting back onto the kind of elections and things like that here, I never, you know, read or taken much into account of the kind of hustings or whatever it's called. Basically, their manifestos about, you know, their candidacy, because I wasn't involved in the voting, because I wasn't getting a vote, not a member. I just want to point out, though, and I think it's been pointed out before, there was only 1,385 votes cast in that. Now, bearing in mind this was a merger with Rangers First, which I believe, you know, I might be wrong in this, but I had over 10,000 members. I don't know if they were paid members or not, I'm not too sure, but where were all the votes, you know?
Does it go down to, though, like you said, being paid members, or is there certain privileges that some got that some didn't get due to the amount of money that was getting paid in, or something like that?
I believe a member was if you were a paying, you know, I'm going to say customer. I know it's not a customer, but, you know, that's the best way to describe it here. If you were paying into it, you were classed as a member. You got votes, and you got a vote in each of the elections and what have you. So what's happened to all of them? You know, bearing in mind there was other members of Rangers, Rangers Supporters Trust as well involved in that. So getting back to that as well, the Twitter site, which we mentioned the last time, you know, it was taken over, the Rangers Supporters Trust Twitter site was taken over by Club 1872. Now, I can fully understand and appreciate why they've done this, because there's already a valid user base there, which, you know, 90-odd%, you know, agreed to transfer over. And merge in with Rangers First. But the point is, if it's an independent, you know, if it's a total separate group and a new group that was founded, then all the users who were blocked by Rangers Supporters Trust Twitter should have been unblocked instantly for that. I'm not saying there was anything untowards. What I'm saying is there's a perceived, you know, notion that Club 1872 is just another vehicle for Rangers Supporters Trust, which has been, you know, pointed out on Twitter. I'm not necessarily saying that that is the case. In fact, I don't even agree with that. But, you know, that's the perception that there might be as well.
Yeah.
And one thing, just going back to what Chris Graham says, that 5% of your membership fee that you pay goes towards admin and advertising. That's fair enough. But if you actually break that down, if the minimum payment for a membership is £5 a month, now that would take 4 members. You know, just based on that percentage, if I've got my maths right here, 4 members paying a £5 a month to get £1, £40 to get £10, £400 to get £100 a month just to pay for like admin and advertising. And we know from the crazies in the other side of the city how much it actually costs to do things like advertising in papers just for one advert. It's an expensive game. So That 5% admin fee is not going to go far. So, which again gets back to the crux of my initial tweet. You know, was there help given by the club to pay for that advertising? You know, but, you know, certainly I want to see it work, and that's the bottom line. I'm not happy paying money into it just now and becoming a member and having a vote until certain things are clarified, until it gets a wee bit more streamlined, until things start churning, the cogs start going with the board. Now, obviously, that's a great thing that the shares were bought today. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's,
definitely.
That was what the clear goal of Rangers First was, which is why I ended up signing up to buy shares. Now, it's great that there's another vehicle there within Club 1872 to, you know, help the club out in terms of projects and things like that, and batting, you know, upgrading Ibrox has been mooted and things like that. So that's another vehicle if people want to do it. But my primary thing is put shares, you know. So it's going to take time, absolutely. And what's not going to help is existing members sniping at you on Twitter for asking a simple question. The thing won't work unless it's members, and the only way to get members is not to put them off like what happened over the last couple of weeks. Now, if people want to spout lies, that's up to them. If people want to believe the lies, then, well, that's up to them, really. You can only, you know, try and say to them, well, that's a load of rubbish. Don't have a go at the person for spouting lies and try and, you know, shame them into it, because that's, from what I've read, a lot of what happened in the actual elections by basically shitting on other candidates. So I'm going to leave it there. If any, I'm not going to reply about anything on Club 1872 on Twitter, as I've said, because all you do right now is get shite from it if you even put a simple question, which is, as Dave said, and as I've said, non-threatening. So if anyone's got any issues with anything I've said tonight, then feel free to email us, and I will get back to you in email. You know, the email address is iReadyPod@hotmail.com, which is a bloody big feat for me remembering that. So, certainly by all means, if you've got any issues about what anything I've said, email me directly on that, and I'll get back to you. But I'm not discussing it over Twitter again, because all you get is shite and abuse.
I mean, I'll stick up for you that way, Derek. You know me, I have never been affiliated with any of the supporters' associations. I never have been. I think it's great what you said, that they're finally, you know, they're buying shares and stuff like that. And I just wanted, basically, for, if there was going to be one supporters' association, everybody to be singing off the same hymn sheet, you know, for it to be a smooth transition. But as you say, there's a lot of people, it's basically no work to it like that. But I'll stick up for you to say that in all the discussions that I've had with you with regards to this, you've never, ever been one to come out in bad mouth Club 1872 once, and the way that I read it, it was a simple observation that you had made during the match, and an honest question that you asked on Twitter, and the amount of hostility you got, I was really quite surprised, and it puts you off, and it's... If you had been the type of person who'd been bad-mouthing them for day one and having a go, I would have said, all right, fair enough, that's the reason that these guys have reacted like that. But, you know, it was, you've never done that, and you've not been one... you've not been a person that's been out there to bad-mouth them or to have a go at them for the start or anything like that. So I found it quite uncalled for, to be honest with you, and we try and stay as impartial as possible, you know, with these things. And I know that you were a member of Rangers First, I wasn't. But it's we try to stay impartial with things like that, and I think we've always been quite clear on that as well when we've been talking about everything that's been going on, and been very supportive as well to the supporters associations also in the past, and you know, for the tweets to be coming, didn't mean, it wasn't nasty, Derek. No. It was just more sort of sniping comments. I thought it was uncalled for, and it was, you know, just a bit silly. And as I say, to be fair, at least Chris Graham did come out and try and answer some of your questions. As I say, I'm no one for, I don't know Chris, I've read a lot of his comments in the past, some have agreed and some have not agreed with and stuff like that. I try and see him as basically being a Rangers supporter that has a lot to do with the associations and such like, but he did try to come up to answer, to be fair to him, and there was no hostility in anything that he sent back to you either, which was fine. But as I say, as you say, it is quite off-putting, and you would be quite right in my eyes to be cautious now after stuff like that until you get, you know, complete answers to everything. And I don't think it's too much for you to ask a question like that to try and get somebody to give you an honest answer.
Yeah. So the bottom line is, after this podcast we're finished recording, Dave's changing the Twitter password, so I can't get on it.
I'll just be fucking switching my phone off here, that's what
it was. Right, well, we've kind of discussed that now, so as I said, you know, email me and I will get back to you. I'm not just discussing it on Twitter anymore, and I certainly won't be asking any direct questions in relation to that, so we'll leave that there.
Yes.
Right, we will now go into the news.
Okay.
From ITN, the ITV News at 10 with Trevor McDonald.
Yes, no classic match this week, as we've got a lot to discuss and we're trying to line up something quite special for the next one anyway, so I don't want to spoil that one.
Yep.
So a few kind of bits and pieces, well, more than a few, unfortunately, and we've got a couple of twats to talk about as well. So,
yes.
Firstly, not a twat, but just unfortunate news. Nico Kranjčar likely to be out for the rest of the season, certainly 6 months at least, with a cruciate injury.
Yep.
It's a pity because he was starting to, in the last two games he played, he was starting to really come on.
He did start to look, his fitness was coming back. As I say, scored that fantastic goal against Partick Thistle, and he did look as if he was, you know, starting to really contribute something to our team. A bit of vision, a bit of guile as well. But as I say, just our luck now, Derek, and that's about. So we need to basically no forget about him, but we need to try and find something that's going to work. I don't know if Josh Windass is the answer or not. Again, only time will tell.
Yeah, it was a bloody training ground injury as well. That's the best.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Another sad bit of news here. Obviously, I never had the privilege of properly meeting him myself at all, but I'm sure many have. Doorman and front desk staff member Peter Jacobs passed away after a short illness. There was tributes led by many of the players. They had been in there for years, and they always used to greet players and dignitaries going into Ibrox all the time. So another sad one, and I'm sure he'll be missed by everyone that knew him.
Yeah, definitely.
Fernando Rixon, there was a charity dinner in his honour, which he was due to attend, was it last month, I think it was. He was initially banned from flying by, I think it was KLM, because of his condition. And it was all about the emergency, you know, getting out in an emergency and things like that. However, fortunately, they did see sense and it allowed them to travel.
Yeah.
I really don't understand why that's any different to, you know, say a small kid having their own seat.
Yeah, I think, as I say, thankfully they saw sense in the end and he was able to attend, so that was great.
Yeah. Rangers have confirmed they finally received an apology from the Daily Record over the story published by Jane Hamilton over the cup final issue about, obviously, you know, the fictional story she'd done about using children as shields.
Ridiculous. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep. Utilita was confirmed as official energy partner of Rangers. They've got a thing as well. If you sign up and join with them, they give, I think it's £25 to the youth development team, which is good.
Seen that.
On that note, I put a tweet out, and I don't know, I think it was on Follow as well, that Rangers' other partner, it was Bon Accord Life Insurance, they had given me a phone call just on the back of being, you know, affiliated with Rangers now, and I found that quite strange, but I think other fans have had the same as well. It's just obviously if you tick the box for your details to be passed out to partners and things like that, that's what will happen. So that's all well and good. More money for the club.
Yep, definitely.
Bit of a strange one with Kenny Miller. He was arrested after in an incident after the Old Firm game. His wife was involved. There was rumours that she was getting hassled or assaulted. Mm-hmm. Not wanting to go too much into it because obviously there's an ongoing police case with that one. My main point about that was you just got absolutely hammered. I don't care the fact that you should be able to go out and do whatever you want after a game, but you're a Rangers player. What the hell were you doing out after an Old Firm defeat like that?
Because I know, as you say, you've got to live your life, but Derek, I wouldn't go out. I certainly didn't feel like going out after that. No. I know that you wouldn't, and to be a player to go through that as well, I certainly wouldn't be wanting to go out anywhere. So, as you say, it's disgraceful if it did happen, but he really shouldn't have been out on a night like that where tensions were high as well. It was maybe a bit bad idea for him to go out. And as you say, we'll not talk any further about it because obviously it will be going to court and stuff like that. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yep. Next one here, it was a good few weeks ago now. Senderos, Kiernan, Crooks and Dodu were given a wee run out in a development game against Hibs. However, the match was cut short at half time after an official 2-2 and the game was abandoned. Apparently stories came out that Rangers were quite willing to go ahead and keep the game going, but Hibs decided to call it off. So I
never heard that one, Derek. No. That's the first time hearing of that.
It was a bit of pain because they were all coming back for injury at the time, so it was would have been a good run out for them, but I think we got awarded the game anyway because we were winning at the time. Yep.
Okay.
Keeping the theme going with Hibs, this is the most incredible decision ever, but you know, a precedent has one been set, and two, the rules were, or the writing was on the wall already. Rangers and Hibs have been cleared of all charges in relation to the Scottish Cup final with the fans. Basically, a lawyer acting for Hibs, who is also the SPFL lawyer, found that the rule book, there's nothing they could charge the clubs with. As you know, as much as in this case that the club should be hammered for what their fans done for attacking our players, for certain issues, I don't see how the club can be hammered for or given fines at all for behaviour of some fans. Like, for instance, you know, Man City were going to be fined by UEFA for booing during the Champions League theme of their fans. I don't see how, I mean, sense prevailed and they never got, you know, fined or anything for that. So certain elements, but when your own players, when your own team, sorry, when your own fans come out of the park and attack players like that, that's out of order. I mean, the government have threatened to step in if future disorder like that happens. Well, you know, the government stepping in to football the last time totally worked, didn't it?
Exactly.
And when I said writing was on the wall, there has actually, I checked this up online, and there has been previous fan issues, maybe not as severe as that, but which have been reported, but it's been commented that the clubs cannot be punished. So why, during the merger of the two football bodies, the SFL and the SPL, were rules not changed then?
Exactly. Again, as Derek, there's been a complete and utter clusterfuck with it, and pardon my language, but, you know, everything, the whole merger has been, I mean, you saw that when we went into administration. They didn't have a clue what was going on or what to do, and they were making up rules as they went along back then, and nothing seems to have changed. It's just a complete and utter shambles, but we all know that, Derek, and we just knew that something like that was going to happen. We knew that there would be a complete balls up with any decision that was made anyway, and sense would never prevail when it comes to, you know, the people running Scottish football. So it really didn't surprise me in the slightest.
No, not really. So we'll see. You know, obviously, the arrest count is still getting totted up, so we'll see what happens there.
But just remember, Derek, Lee Wallace is a grass. Pathetic.
I mean, obviously, just going on the back of that as well, obviously arrests and court cases are pending for the Celtic fan that, you know, done the effigies and all that kind of thing. We'll not talk about that, but it's interesting that Celtic, you know, haven't made any sort of statements in relation to that either. It also is very interesting, the fact that this guy is now getting picked up for that in court, and obviously the police and stewards allowed them into this ground doing that, and allowed them to set this up and never taking it down. So, case in point once again there.
Well, again, we'll wait and see what the outcome is on that one as well. But I'm really no surprised that there's not been any comments made at all, to be honest with you.
No, unlikely to be either.
Yeah, exactly.
Next one here is Willie Vass, one of the good photographers for Rangers, has a book out of about 300 odd pictures he taken during the journey back to the Premiership. 220 games all in all, over half a million images he taken, and he covered over 12,000 miles. I've had a wee look at the book myself, and it's actually, some of the pictures are absolutely fantastic, so certainly a worthwhile purchase that.
Oh, definitely. Do you know the name of the book, Derek?
I don't know. I think it's just Willie Vass, 300 odd pictures. No, I think it's, I don't know off the top, but it was you know, unveiled it at Ibrox there as well.
Oh, it sounds excellent. Aye, yeah. Superb.
On the note of books as well, I've got it, but I've still not read it yet because I'm getting through Rickson's book very slowly. Commentator Tom Miller had a book out that he wrote about Jim Baxter, and he's just had a new one come out about Sandy Jardine, so that'll certainly be a fantastic
book. Superb, and you know, good luck to him with that as well. He's the absolute Rangers enthusiast and a legend when you hear him on Rangers TV, so yeah, superb.
Yep. One other good thing for the background staff at Ibrox, Julian Lescott ruled out for 3 to 6 months, if not the full season, after injury to the same knee, which had been the issue all along. So it really looks as if he did fail his medical, or not fail his, but not something flagged up in the medical with us.
Yes.
And, you know, he signed for AEK Athens rather than us.
I think at the same time, though, Derek, he would have cleared that header that Boss County scored even way, fucking one leg completely knackered, to be honest with you. But as you say, it's maybe our medical staff actually saved us on that one. I think we were all a bit disappointed that we didn't sign him, because on paper I think he would have been a really good defender for us, but we've maybe been saved on that one. So
yep. Rangers and the Rangers Charity Foundation have signed the Armed Forces Covenant, which is an agreement to support all of the armed forces throughout the services, their policy and projects. So certainly keeping a great link up there with the armed forces.
Superb, right.
You know, it was a humbling moment, you know, being in the minute silence for Remembrance Day as well, which we had. Well, just brilliant cause there.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the absolutely disgraceful tweets again by your good friend Mr. Spears,
who was calling
us embarrassing and stuff like that for these things. Absolutely shocking. And again, just feeding time at the zoo with the amount of comments that he got after it for supporters of that club for the other side of the city. Absolutely pathetic by him, and he'll stop at nothing to have a try and have a wee pop at us about absolutely anything. But no, Rangers have to be commended for that one. It's, as you say, it's great to be linked to such a great cause, and the minute silence and Armed Forces Day are always, you know, well respected by the Rangers supporters, and great days out for, you know, when all the guys for Armed Forces Day are all at the stadium, they'll have a fantastic time, as do the fans. So let's hope they keep it up, and by the sounds of it, they will be.
Yes, absolutely. Another good piece of news here is a friendly has been arranged with RB Leipzig
Leipzig.
Stupid name.
Leipzig.
That's been arranged in Germany for Sunday the 15th of January, which is during the 3-week winter break.
And according again to the Daily Record, Rangers playing Europe's most hated team in a friendly. Did you see that one?
I never know.
Europe's most hated team. And basically, according to the Daily Record, they're the most hated team in Europe basically because they've been taking over and they have a lot of money at their disposal, and they've basically spent a shitload of money on players, and they've came out of absolutely nowhere, and now they're challenging Bayern Munich at the top of the table. That's the reason that they're the most hated club in Europe, according to the Daily Record.
So doing what every other club, major club in Europe are doing, then we're spending millions of money on them, you know.
Aye, but I know, but Derek, but they've arranged a friendly against us.
Aye.
So come on.
Did they not mean Rangers are the most hated club in Europe?
Well, but I know, I've seen that, and that's who Scotland, this young lad from Scotland now plays with. It was Oliver Burke, his name is. So I don't know much about him, but apparently they bought him for about 15 million, so they must have seen something in him. So no, that's good, and it gives all the supporters of that. So I've been seeing a lot of that on Twitter, fans asking about tickets and transport and stuff like that. So no doubt we'll have a massive support travelling over there, and it's good for the supporters to get there, considering we've not had any European football in a few seasons. So that'll be really good.
I didn't fancy 20 hours in a bus, though, to be honest.
If you're pissed, it's alright.
Oh, well, Christ, you came my bladder.
You would need to hire a fucking port-a-loo to fucking travel by.
They'd be stopping the bus every kind of couple of miles just to empty the bloody tank. So I'll be empty in mine, and they'll be empty in theirs.
Exactly.
Next thing here is your old pal, Nicky Law.
Oh, right, yes, okay.
Came out and said that the fans, you know, there was no atmosphere at Ibrox, and the fans would just turn up there, and it was just a case of the fans saying, we're expecting 3 points and go home. You know?
Aye. I think after watching Nicky Law after his third performance, there was nobody expecting Rangers to get 3 points while he was in the team, Derek. So aye, he's talking utter pish. Aye, I seen that and I thought to myself, you know, obviously a guy the supreme class in Nicky Law, and the amount of times that he single-handedly won matches for Rangers, you know, he's right to comment and make a comment like that. Absolutely disgraceful. He was pathetic for us. It was a complete waste of space. Another guy who came in thinking that he could walk into the team and he wouldn't have to try, you know, he'd do well playing for us, and did absolutely nothing. You know how much I disliked the guy, and, you know, coming away with comments like that's pathetic. I think he's playing for Bradford now. I think one of Stuart McCall's players playing for Bradford, yeah. And I don't know if he's getting his game or no or whatever, but certainly if he plays for Bradford like he did for us, he'll be spending most of his time in the sidelines, because he's been absolutely hee-haw for us. Anyway, that's the first of my rants out the road with.
That's all right. You're doing better than me anyway. So. next one I'm going to get on to here before we get on to the biggest one of the kind of news about Rangers is Chris Sutton here. Once again, he's stating he's coming out with a load of, you know, biased, utter garbage, and he's showing himself up every single time when he's commentating against us, because it is really against us. You know, it started out in the papers and his column in the Daily Record saying that the job's too big for Warburton. You know, Warburton kind of hit back a wee bit and said that I was brought up to only value the opinions of people whom you've any iota of respect,
yep.
Which is a fantastic comeback.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Stoking the flames in a way, but it was quite a good kind of way to do it. Sutton then claims Warburton's got two games to save his job. Well, he's done pish ever since then, and he's still in the
exactly,
job. So,
right. Uh-huh.
And then Sutton, in the most bizarre thing ever, he was a guest for 10 minutes on Radio Clyde, and Sutton had a major go at Derek Johnson. Now, Derek Johnson, he can waffle a load of crap sometimes, and I'm not saying I'm not a fan of him, but I'm just saying that he can say a lot of shite,
yeah.
Sometimes, and he was a wee bit cosy with the old board,
yes.
Not the old board, but the old management in terms of McCoy's,
yeah.
And things. He's his pal, which is fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, calling him a charlatan and calling him an embarrassment and all that kind of thing, it was an unprovoked attack, which was really left, you know, he was left to defend himself effectively, which, you know, he more than done, but there was no backup from his colleagues in the Super Scoreboard there.
Which was, mean, like, Jerry McCulloch?
Well, aye, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, you know, it was just disgraceful comments. He's made comments once again, you know, as I've mentioned about, you know, Warburton not doing a press conference at the end. He's made several other comments during games. He just clearly can't, you know, keep his mouth shut when it comes to it. I'll give him this. Sometimes his commentary can be actually, his commentary on the actual game can be not too bad sometimes. But see, when he lets his own personal feelings get into it when it comes to Rangers, he's clearly still hurting from that Dunfermline game.
Which is actually quite amusing to think, Derek, if that is the case. It's quite amusing. Any time I hear Chris Sutton, Derek, he only ever talks about Rangers. He's like all the other Celtic fans out there. He's completely obsessed with us, totally. How BT Sports can have him commentate on a Rangers game is beyond me, because, you know, it's plain for everybody to see, even people who don't know who he is. They would know that he's, you know, a Celtic fan or an ex-Celtic player or something like that. It's incredible. And he will go any opportunity he gets to have a go at Rangers, and he makes it plainly obvious. It's not done in a snide way. It's like pure out hatred and rage towards anything to do with Rangers, or he'll try anything he can to have a go at any of the Rangers players that are playing for doing anything. And Christ, I still think he's going on about Forrester for the game against Dundee. I'm still sure he's bringing that one up.
I'm sure.
The guy's just, he's so, if that's the case, you're saying he's a good commentator. Any time I hear about him, he basically just sounds like a rabid obsessive about your team. That's like what you said, it's still hurting for, you know, his time at Celtic, the times that you know that we won the league and stuff like that, which is pathetic, really.
Yeah.
And again, if I know he's on and BT Sports on, I turn the volume down, or I turn the volume down and I try and get Tom Miller online so that I've got the commentary in the background so that I can watch the game when it's on the TV and stuff,
yeah.
Like that. So it's just pathetic.
Yeah,
really is.
Enough talking about him. Let's,
yep.
Get on to the one we've kind of mentioned.
Come on,
before.
Let's go for it. Go for it, Derek. Come on, go for it. I'm desperate for you to get double barrels with this guy, considering you were really quite, you know, up for him getting another chance. And I was telling you, no, that's not the case. I'm desperate for you to change your tune here and really go for it. Come on, give me it.
Joey Barton, I'm not going to get into all the individual things, because everything's happened since we've done the last pod, which, mm-hmm. You know, is quite incredible. But, you know, I'm not going to get into every single thing that he's done. Everybody knows what everything that's happened. You know, he's starting with his, you know, office, you know, something happened in training, rumoured to be toe-to-toe with Warburton, claiming he had nothing to apologise for in an interview and things like that. You know, anything that he's done in terms of in the media since then would have been classed as gross misconduct for us. So I can't believe the club haven't got grounds to sack him, but we all know that football in terms and conditions for employment seem to be entirely different to us. He's now tonight, as we kind of said, it looks as if it's been broke that he's been a mutual termination of the contract with a payoff of 8 weeks' wages, so that'll be about $250,000 or thereabouts. Whether there's any sort of gagging clause in that, I'm no idea. You know, he's not going to hold his trap with that one, so look out for his tweets. As much as I still stand by my point, I think I made in the last one, where I think he's been made largely a scapegoat for the team, because everybody, including yourself, Dave, was saying that take him out of the team and the midfield sorts itself. Well, that's clearly not the case, but at the same time, when you come with that reputation, when you come with that skill, and more importantly, when you mouth off in social media like he has been doing, he needs to produce the goods, and he never produced the goods. See, if he was producing the goods and the rest of the team weren't, then that's maybe the issue. Fair enough, that's he's justified, but he wasn't. And there's obviously rumours that in the dressing room, he's, you know, given what he said, he's maybe told a few home truths to some of the players, and they've not liked it, and that's where it's kicked off. That could be well the case. Again, that's speculation on our points.
Again, though, Derek, if somebody's having a rant and, as you say, giving it home truths like what you said, then I certainly wouldn't think it would be, you know, everything that's happened with the club for there and the way that it's been handled, I don't think it would be dealt with like that. I think something more serious has gone on for there. I don't think that's just been a dressing room bust up, because I'm sure every single club in the whole world that plays professional football, if they've had a couple of bad results, there'll be players that will have major bust ups in the dressing room, and it doesn't work like that. So something more serious has happened than that, and it's got to have been something with the manager. He did mention something about Andy Halliday. I'm sure it'll come out, because, as you say, he's not the type of guy that's going to sit back. He'll want to say what happened. We are just not used to this at all, because usually the one thing we'll say about Rangers is everything gets dealt with and there's never any bad mouthing after it. Players leave. When have you ever heard of a player, apart from like when you're saying Nicky Law there, who's just an idiot, when have you ever heard the players leaving, especially top players leaving and having a bad word to say about their time at Rangers? Never happens, ever. That'll change this time. It has been a costly mistake from the beginning. When he first signed for us, I think the two of us were expecting him to come in and, you know, fulfil, you know, the player that he was the season before. But if you think about it, he had been out the whole summer doing his commentating for Radio 5. It had no training, no pre-season whatsoever. He came into the Rangers team, was put straight in, showed very, very few glimpses in the first match, even although he was given man of the match there. A few glimpses of that, and it went downhill from there on, and he basically did nothing else apart from that. Put on a lot of stuff on Twitter, which when you look back now is quite embarrassing, because it's complete egg on your face stuff from him, and did very little for us. And now it has been a very, very costly error by the club bringing him in. And who's to say that he'll no go in January now and find another club and be absolutely fantastic for them, and that'll be even worse, I think, for us, knowing that that's happened. What I found strange was when, I don't know if you're going to get into it, but he was ordered to come back for training, and he was training with the under-20s, and it was the constant tweets that we were getting out there, yes, Joey's back at the club and he'll be back in the team and all that. It was never going to happen. That was an exercise to get him back fit training so that somebody could pick him up in January so that we could get him off the wage bill. That's all it was. Trying to explain that to some people was incredible. And then to top it all off today, and I don't know what's happened today, Derek, and I'm still trying to get my head round it, and I'm going to sort of steal your thunder here, but for the fact that it was reported today that he was signed off sick for Rangers training through stress, and then 3 hours later, we're reading that an agreement has been made, and he's, you know, for him to go their separate ways, and his contract to be terminated, as which we're reading now, he's obviously had a payoff. It's been all agreed. Why come away with the whole stress thing? Why, you know, why did that happen? And then 3 years later, do you think that the stress thing has been the final straw, and the board have just said, right, fuck it, we need to just do it now and get rid of him and give him what he wants? Do you think that's what's happened?
I've no idea. I think he's just been a twat, to be honest. It's plain and simple. I think he's actually kind of came up here, he spouted off a load of shite, thinking it was going to be very easy, because bearing in mind, mm-hmm. a lot of players who've played down south, you know, think, oh, it's going to be a walk in the park, and they've realised that as much as it's not maybe technical, the game is a lot different and a lot faster yep. up here, and he's maybe came up and realised that, and, you know, thought, nah, I've made an arse of myself here, I want to get out, and maybe I think that might be a lot of the case as well. When he asked the SFA for a, you know, extension of time about his hearing for his betting thing, obviously, you know, again, that was another point I was going to make is, yep. you know, why would you want an extension? There's nothing to really, what's he got to go over, you know?
Exactly.
I think it was just playing the club, try to eke out more time, because quite probably if the club couldn't have sacked him for what he was alleged to have done, or what he may have done, I don't know, then certainly it would have been suspended with pay, I can quite imagine. So
yes,
he'll be eking that out. The guy is just an absolute twat. I think after last year and what you heard about him, you know, thought, yeah, this could be actually a really good signing. And you look back at a lot of these signings this year, and especially him, this has been a signing that you would make in Football Manager. You see, there's this guy, he's free, he can come up for free, yeah, it'll cost a wee bit of money, but he comes with a name and a big pedigree, you know, let's sign him, you know, because that's what I do in Football Manager. That's why I'm shite at Football Manager, by the way. So.
It's, I was very sceptical when we signed him, and I said that to you, on paper, a fantastic signing, off the pitch, absolute bumpot, and it's given us, it's been a very costly error by the club. You know, at the end of the day, I can only hope that we learn from it, and the money that we're now sort of saving on wages, they can go and bring somebody in that can actually do something for us. But again, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I know the papers are just going to be full of it now constantly, and they'll be desperate for him to tweet something, and there'll be constant people contacting him to try and get him to say what's coming out. But as you say, it depends what's happened. If there's been a guarantee that he doesn't say anything, you know, that he doesn't get paid or whatever, I don't know. I just find it strange with the whole, I'm going off in the sick with stress, and then the next minute that's the contract terminated and he's no longer a Rangers player. I just find it baffling how it all happened in that such a short space of time.
Yeah, I mean, as much as you say it's been a costly mistake, I think it was one worth doing though. I really do, because if you got the good side of Barton, you know, you knew you were going to get a great player, especially up here. If you signed the bad side of Barton, which obviously, unfortunately, we've got, we're going to get an absolute shit, which, again, we have. But it was a risk worth taking, I think. It's more annoying the way it's been handled by the club, because I think from the comments that Warburton's made, I think it's clear that he had nothing to do with the disciplinary proceedings. It wasn't even, I can quite imagine from what he's said, it was nothing to do with him about what happened after that, because obviously in the now infamous interview where Mark Benstead asked him the question four times in a roundabout way, and obviously Jim Traynor stepped in and stopped the interview. Which somebody,
Jim Traynor, the bouncer.
Which I fully agreed with, you know. I fully agreed with him doing that, because
it was just quite funny the way he sort of barged in like the proverbial bouncer in a nightclub, right, you out. That was basically it. It was hilarious. That's it. It's over. Party's finished. It's all getting shut down and gone. It was hilarious. It really was.
But it was just that what he said in that, he said, you know, it's up to the powers that be. I'm not going to discuss it further. So, you know, that's him basically saying that, well, it's nothing to do with me. And obviously, Barton came for the kind of final official meeting, as it were, at Ibrox, Warburton was at Murray Park doing training. So he wasn't even involved in that. So it was nothing to do with Warburton, this decision, it seems. Mm-hmm. So,
Aye, as I say, I'm quite positive that it'll all come out very soon. The media will be trying to get information for Barton and whatever about what's actually happened, so I'm sure it will come out, and he might. There's been a few folks saying he might add an extra chapter to the end of his book. I think if he thought it could sell books, which it probably would, then he might actually do it. We'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, a couple of other stories here just before we finish off and we get to the usual crazy ones at the end. English Football League are not actually going to expand into five divisions as they originally planned, which basically shuts the door for Rangers and Celtic joining the English leagues. I hope that one is dead forever, because I'm fed up hearing about, oh yes, it might happen.
Yeah. I think with the state that we're in the new, Derek, we need to try and concentrate being back to the top of Scottish football before we can think about anything else.
Yeah, exactly. And also just after that, it was revealed that talks about an Atlantic League have flared up again. It was all down to the new proposed structure of the Champions League, which is still to be ratified and things. So it means countries like Scotland and the Nordic teams are being frozen out of the Champions League effectively, so they've no other option but to do that. For any sort of revenue, you know, again, that was touted a while ago. Whether it comes to fruition is another story, so we'll just need to wait and see with that one. So.
Yeah, okay.
Argentine club Liniers told to fix their wildly wonky pitch or face having the ground shut down. Buenos Aires sides who play in the fifth tier of the Argentinian setup have been given a deadline of 15th of December by Argentinian Football Association to fix their trapezoid-shaped playing fields or risk its permanent closure. You see a top-down version pitch of this, and it's just incredible how they actually play in it. It looks hilly as well, to be honest. So.
Really? What's the name of the club, Derek, to have a wee look there now online?
It's Liniers. L-I-N-I-E-R-S.
Liniers. Right, let me see what it comes up with. I see this. Oh, hi, that's totally, it's like completely wonky.
I suggest everyone go and have a wee look at that, because it's something funny. Apparently work has started to sort it, but it's how they kind of said that they weren't aware that there was anything wrong with it until they looked at Google Maps.
Oh, that's totally, it's totally strange. It's like, if you look, I mean, the two boxes like are like no way are they like parallel to each other. It's like everyone's on like a slant. That's hilarious. We would maybe play better on that pitch.
Maybe, aye.
That's incredible. That's mental, eh? Yep, on you go.
Right. Man snaps penis while trying kinky sex position with lover, suffering a 1 in 1,000 bedroom injury. The 59-year-old's penis was said to have turned bright purple.
59? Okay.
Well done.
For me, yeah.
And it was bright purple and shocked doctors because it was visibly broken at the point the organ joined the body.
Oh, man, alive. Right.
I'm not wanting to read any more of that, to be honest. 1 in 1,000, though, that's quite frightening.
I'm just more shocked he's 59-year-old and he's still doing kinky sex.
Well, I don't even want to know, but
oh, nightmare. Right, on you go.
Woman who got sex toy stuck warns kinky couples after the world's most embarrassing hospital trip. Now, this was well publicised. I think it was a Glaswegian girl, okay. Or somebody. Mum of one, Emma Phillips, was feeling amorous with her partner Lee Miller during the early hours of Saturday morning when a 7-inch sex toy disappeared. Minutes later, the 24-year-old said she leaned forward and she could feel it vibrating inside her bottom, wedged behind her hip. The boyfriend tried to extract the sex toy with a fork handle and then later barbecue tongs before calling an ambulance.
Barbecue tongs. I really hope he threw the barbecue tongs out after that, Derek.
Oh, that's marinade for the next barbecue.
Now, can I tell you a story, Derek, that I heard, and I was told that this is gospel, right? I worked with a guy a long time ago. I don't even know if the guy's still alive or not. He was an ex-soldier. When he was in the army, he was stationed in Germany, as a lot of troops are these days. And he told me a story about he was on duty one night in the barracks that they were at, and there was the married quarters, and his friend, now this is his version of the story, Derek, I don't know how true it is or not, but his friend was away out on patrol, and he got a call at the guard post. It was at from his friend's wife, who asked if he could go around because she was sounding a wee bit distressed. And he went round to her house, and she says, "Listen, I don't know what to do. I'm really embarrassed, but I've got something stuck up inside my sexual orifice,
front bottom."
So yes. And he said to her, what is it?" And she says, it's a banana." And he went, "A banana?" And she went, "Aye." And he says, "Can you know, get it out? Can you know, like, grab the end of the banana skin?" And she went, "No, she says, froze the banana and I unpeeled it inside of the banana." Inside me, and it went all mushy and it's and she had to go to hospital apparently as well, the sort of military hospital, and of course it was spread like wildfire after that, and everybody knew, and she was mortified. But just thinking her unpeeling banana after being frozen and surely she would have known that it would have became unfrozen and it would have went too much. But sorry for me hijacking your story, but that just sort of reminded me of that story that you told me a long time ago. So.
I don't know where I can go from that now.
I'm sure you can go to your next story and beat that in, Derek.
Hospital patient seriously burnt after farting during cervix surgery and causing a laser to burst into flames.
That's where like my type of story, right? Where you go.
A patient has been left badly burnt after she farted during surgery, causing the laser to burst into flames. The unnamed woman in her 30s was undergoing surgery in a Tokyo Medical University hospital, which involved a laser being applied to her cervix. I'm not wanting to read any more of that, to be honest.
That's cool, eh? Right, what's your next one?
Next one. Former Bournemouth player dropped from his national team for allegedly farting at his manager.
I heard about this one, right, on you go.
Tokelo Ranti, who spent 3 years at Bournemouth, is said to have carried out the bizarre act a couple of weeks back. This is obviously a while ago, but the story is only just let rip, which is exactly what the player appears to have done.
Hey! I heard about that. Did it happen in like the dressing room in front of all the other players, and he was like kind of carry on? And
The article reads, Tokelo Ranti pulled down his pants and let one rip in the direction of Bafana coach Ifam Sheikh's Mashaba.
Okay.
A few days ago in one of the most bizarre acts.
So now we're getting somewhere, Derek. Is this what Joey Barton did to Mark Warburton?
Quite possibly. The flatulence was so suffocating that the putrid stench continues to hover over the team like a dark cloud. Oh, God. That's some piss journalism for you. And I'm going to leave you with this one. Man has penis amputated after getting it stuck for 4 days in a bottle he used as a sex toy.
I hope for his sake it was one of the bottles that you get the tomato juice out of. You know, there was a big rim bottle. I hope for his sake it was that. And it was the Everman glass bottle of Diet Coke or something like that.
I don't think it goes into so much detail, but the embarrassed 50-year-old left it 4 days before seeking medical help.
Oofed.
It caused
Why
to suffer.
Why did you not just fucking smash the bottle?
I have no idea. I'm worried about getting cuts. But he's lost his bow bite, so...
and he's now called Brenda.
I've no idea what to say about that. Anyway, that kind of wraps the whole podcast up. So it's been a rather long one, unlike his Willie now.
Exactly.
So keep following us and keep listening to us, and it's been a pleasure. Hopefully the results get better as well.
I know it can. We've got a few weeks to wait, Derek. There's the international games this weekend. So it'll be the following week. Here's hoping that now that Barton's away, we can stop having that as a sort of side circus and get back to actually winning games and playing games and get some players back to full fitness. And I think that's about all we can say at the moment. It's been pretty disappointing. But we'll keep on cheering them on, Derek, as always. And we've been in a lot worse positions than we are at the moment. So I think we just need to try and be as positive as we can.
Absolutely. So it's goodbye. Thank you very much.
Yes, a goodbye from me and a goodbye from him. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Let me go to the toilet, 2 seconds.
All right.
You still there?
I hope you wash your hands.
I'm for grades with mate, we didn't wash it.